Warning. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Vuse is smooth, consistent, and intentionally simple. It's vapor done right. Because when you're free to focus on what really matters, everything just clicks. Find Vuse, that's V-U-S-E, Vuse, at your favorite convenience store.
Underage sale prohibited. Vuse is a vapor product. Website restricted to age 21 plus tobacco consumers. Copyright 2026 RJRVC.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. And we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis to the program from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm having a dad moment, guys.
Are you?
Yeah.
What's going on?
The first day of Woodland Middle School football practice.
Oh,
and
boy.
I just dropped my daughter off, and I'm having a moment.
Oh, man.
Nice.
Woodland Middle School. Eh, man. Good grief. We're all getting old, Corey. I think that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
We're all getting old.
Yeah. Yeah. Some guy asked her if she was in college the other day. That was a really sad moment.
Not quite.
You're like, no, dude, go away.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Well, Corey, I mean, this is a big day for you. You got that going on, and now the quarterback list has come out from ESPN where Fowler talks to
Sam
all these
Ward,
executives
one, right?
and coaches and not quite executives,
okay.
coaches, and general managers and all these people. And Caleb Williams, a top 10 quarterback, he comes in at number 10. So it's a proud moment for you.
The last time the Bears had a top 10 quarterback, I mean, maybe Jay Cutler would have made that list at one point.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, you know, the thing about Caleb, you know, is he's still ascending, and, you know, they put weapons around him and they've got the right coach with him. I mean, I think, you know, all those things matter. And then he also appears to have that kind of clutch gene, which is, you know, vital for quarterbacks because, I mean, you guys know, we've seen a million guys come into this league at 6'5", 225 pounds, and have a thunderbolt for an arm, but they just don't have it,
yep.
whether it be the ability to process quickly, whether it be the courage to step up and make that throw in the face of the rush, or just wilting in the moment. And so when you find those guys that you know have it really stands out. I mean, it just jumps off the page like a sore thumb. And, you know, Caleb had some first halves that weren't great last year, but whenever the game was on the line, he was at his best. And that's what you're really looking for.
Well, and I don't, this has been thrown out there. I'm not a big subscriber to this, but the Caleb Williams, Cam Ward comparison. Now, where it is interesting is I read this write-up on Caleb Williams. Apparently his off target rate 20.2% ranked 37th out of 38 quarterbacks last year, according to this piece, which I didn't realize it was quite that rough. So you're talking about someone who is erratic to a point who misses late. We talk about missing layups with Cam, right? But then makes the ridiculous plays. I guess the hope would be if the Titans do put more around Cam. He's not as dynamic, and he won't be. I mean, Caleb Williams, like the skill set is pretty ridiculous, but Cam Ward could be more like that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think I saw the stat the other day that Cam Ward had one of the highest drop rates in the league too, and you know if you cut those drops in half, his completion percentage is considerably higher. Again, if he learns to take a few more of the layups, that percentage is going to go higher. And look, some quarterbacks are like, you know, Drew Brees, where they're systematic. And I'm not saying he's a system quarterback. I'm saying he's systematic, where he knows his reads and he knows what he's going to take. And, you know, the ball's coming out quick and he's taking the short throws when they're there. And it's just bang, 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 bang. And that's the way he plays. And then some guys are just playmakers. I mean, Brett Favre. You know, the epitome of just being a playmaker. And, you know, I think Caleb Williams probably falls into that. And, you know, right now I think you kind of think Cam Ward is headed in that direction. But, you know, we have to wait and see, you know, a little bit more. So, there's different ways to skin a cat. And then the other thing, as we've seen with Josh Allen and now Caleb Williams, is guys are allowed to get better. You know, that doesn't mean that Cam will get dramatically better like they both did, but it just means it's allowed to happen.
So let me ask you this, and forget the long-term implications of this and kind of like the relationship with Cam and Tate moving forward as to what it could eventually turn into. I'm asking purely like in training camp. What would you rather see happen if you're Corey Curtis? Would you rather see Cam Ward and Carnell Tate immediately, just from the jump, have undeniable chemistry and you're feeling great about them heading into the year? Or would you rather, by the time training camp ends, feel good, decent to good about their interior offensive line situation? Forget long term. I'm just talking the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah. You know, I am a line of scrimmage guy. So my inner being says you win games at the line of scrimmage. And that's where I would lean, like, right off the bat. But in this scenario, when I think about the long-term success of the Tennessee Titans, this is the first pick and the fourth pick of the NFL draft. I need to see those guys being a dominant tandem that when people think Titans, they think Ward and Tate. Okay? Their solutions aren't there, it doesn't appear, on an interior offensive line long-term. So, you know, it would be nice to see that group play well, but those problems haven't been attempted to be solved yet. And if this problem isn't solved, the quarterback wide receiver one, then you've got a much bigger problem, in my estimation, because you've made the investment to do it.
So speaking of the offensive line, Corey, and rankings, you got a Peter Skoronski here.
Yeah.
Coming in here at number nine. Again, this is like NFL exec, so it's not just like an ESPN ranking. First of all, this question was asked earlier, which was, okay, well, he's about to get the second deal. We don't see that a lot. At what point do you feel good, or do you feel good about him going 11 now in retrospect? But then also, I have to get your reaction to the guy right behind him. That would be number 10, Aaron Brewer of the Miami Dolphins. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, Aaron was an athletic center for the Titans. He just wasn't real big. He was great at the second level. He just didn't always anchor real well. But again, the Dolphins saw what they liked in him and accentuated it, okay? And he was allowed to get better. So, you know, credit to Miami for seeing, you know, what was potentially there. Because I know there were a lot of people here, one in particular, who was vociferous that Aaron Brewer was terrible and could never be a center in the NFL.
That did happen. Yeah. I forgot about that.
But yeah, he was. I don't know if he's still saying that or not, but we'll find out. So good for Aaron Brewer. But you know, I think there's a couple interesting things with Peter. You know, number one, he's the youngest guy on that top 10 at 24 years old, and I think that is extremely promising. You know, for the Titans, that he's the youngest. The other thing that's on there that shocked me, he got at least one vote for number one.
Yeah,
and so if he's garnering this kind of attention as an interior lineman on a really bad football team, that tells me the respect for him in the league is pretty hearty, and it tells me he's going to get paid a lot of money. I mean, a real lot of money.
No, I'm totally with you. And look, as far as the being worth the number 11th overall pick, like I still, when you're talking about a guard, like, you know, I need you to be All-Pro, Hall of Fame level player. But like we were going through this, Corey. I mean, he's unquestionably a guy that's worthy of a second contract here with the Titans. And that just hasn't happened very often around here when it comes to first-round picks lately. I mean, you're talking about Jeffrey Simmons and him, and that's basically it in recent memory.
I get the notion that you don't take, like, guards or whatever in the first round. I do. But I also, it's never a bad time to take a really good football player. It just, it isn't. You know, you take good players no matter what positions you have, what position they have, and they make you better. I mean, there's no question he's the cornerstone of this offensive line.
It, yes,
starts with him. And so, you know, could you have taken Jackson Smith and Jigba? Well, yeah, you could have. You could have. Did anybody know he was going to be one of the top three receivers in the league when he was drafted? No. No, he looked like the best receiver in a thin crop that year. And it turns out he's just absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, Peter Skoronski was a very highly rated player. And, again, you can pick apart coulda, woulda, shoulda. You know, the bottom line is, to me in the first round is, did you get a good football player? Did you get a cornerstone piece of your franchise? That's what you need to get in the first round. And, you know, with him right now, the answer is yes. And, again, another guy who was allowed to get better. You know, he's had some struggles his first year. He got better his second year. And then last year, you know, he was pretty nails for the team.
So I know you're also, like me, a soccer dad, Corey. So yeah. Do you?
I was. Now I'm a football dad.
That's right. You've gone soccer dad to football dad. But do you care about the rest of the World Cup? Will you watch? Who do you want to win?
You know, I think this World Cup has been great in a couple of regards. You know, number one, you know, the U.S. getting people's attention early and eyes on the screen was very helpful. And then it got them paying attention to the rest of the tournament. And then the big thing is the stars in this tournament have just absolutely been freaking stars. I mean, Holland, Messi, Mbappe, Harry Kane, Lamine Yamal, they have all been spectacular. And so a lot of people who may not, in this country, who may not know have known a lot about those guys, now know a lot more about those guys. And so I think there might be more interest in watching some of these games from people because the stars have shown out. If the stars don't show out, you've got to have names to attach with teams. It's one thing to have Spain play or to have Norway play, but when people turn on Norway, they know they're going to watch Erling Haaland. That's different. That's different. Their eyes are locked in. They're looking for a dude. You know, they're looking for Messi with Argentina. They're looking. And so I think it's been an effective branding for soccer because the star players have played so well. I will continue to watch it. France, to me, has been the best team from start to finish. You know, England is coming on. Spain appears to be coming on. But I'll have to go with the team that's looked the best all the way around, and that's France so far.
I'm with you. I think France is going to win. Although I will say, Corey, every time Messi touches the ball, I'm like, I mean, that guy can just change the game at any point. And I still, in the back of my mind, kind of think that he's going to score like three big goals here in the next couple of games and just vault them over the top.
Well, I mean, look, you look at both of these semifinals. These are both championship caliber games. It's the first time in a very long time, maybe ever, I don't know what the numbers say, that FIFA's gotten through the top four teams going in. I mean, these are the top four favorites going into the tournament, and they've all pushed their way to the semifinals. Now, some would complain about the way they got there, but, you know, quite often that's sour grapes.
Corey, thank you, sir, as always. We appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you next week, a week closer to training camp.
Yeah, we're almost there. What is it? 10 days till rookies.
Yeah, getting close.
Football
right. Season right around the corner. Thank you, sir. Corey Curtis with us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. We'll react to what Corey had to say coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Titans, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at 102.5 The Game for live shows and exclusive content. You can join our YouTube chat as well. We got people on the YouTube chat upset with Corey's perception of Jackson Smith and Jigba. Says he was an elite prospect. He did go 20th in the NFL draft.
Yeah, but I remember a lot of people arguing about him, probably one of the more polarizing Ohio State receivers over the last few years, right?
I would agree.
Yeah, which is why he went 20th. So, of course, he was well-regarded, first-round pick, but some of these Ohio State guys are more like top 5-ish, top 10-ish guys. And
when Jeremiah Smith comes out, he's not going to go to the 20th, that I can tell you.
Exactly. Yeah,
probably not going to go 10th. May not go five. No. No, it may go three or two.
Yeah, unless something really weird happens this year, you know, serious injury. Or other than that, I really can't even imagine what it would be. He's going to be the top non-QB, and he will be very highly taken this year. But, yeah, Smith and Jigba, I don't think anybody, maybe somebody, a person or two at the time, thought he'd be what he's become, but that was not the popular expectation.
It says that Justin Jefferson went 22nd, Randy Moss went 16th. So we're conflating elite prospect and elite player here. They're not the same thing.
Right.
Randy Moss went 16th because people were concerned about his character, which in retrospect is stupid.
Exactly.
But that's why he went later in the draft.
100%.
It's because he had quote-unquote character concerns, whatever that means.
He was a number one pick level prospect. Right. To people, you know, he went to Marshall. He was going to go to Notre Dame. He was going to go to Florida State. He had all this stuff when he was young. So that's a totally different. Now, Jefferson's a good example of someone who was underrated.
Yeah, he was very underrated. Yeah. Because people looked at the LSU team and they said, you know, he's really good. But that Jamar Chase kid over here who's sitting out the next year because he knows he's going to be a top five pick, he is great.
Right.
Right.
So what you hope if you're a Titans fan is that all the talk about Carnell Tate similarly, which is, yeah, he's the other side of this incredible guy.
Yeah.
Turns out to be the same type of thing we talk about later.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the Ohio State receiver factory is amazing. They got another one coming in this year that's apparently just going to be unbelievable. Chris Henry Jr. Just add another
one
to the list.
Why not?
Yep. I did see some Ohio State fans be like, this could be the best receiver that Ohio State's ever had. I'm like, well, I mean, maybe, but you got a lot of really good receivers. Like, the bar is pretty high with Jeremiah Smith, right, as a freshman coming in. All right. We'll see how it goes.
Anybody remember Chris Carter?
Yeah,
that was
exactly.
A long time ago. Actually, Terry Glenn at Ohio State. My goodness. Unbelievable player.
Now, we did not get to this last week, but I do want to get your thoughts on this because it has generated some reaction online from Titans fans. So Jimmy Wyatt came out with a story about basically Tajay Spears, you know, trying to help the new regime here and, you know, find his place in the lineup and all those things. And there's a quote that he ends his story with, talking about Spears, and he says, you know, he's working, you know, going through his first years in college, and you're working together and you're changing things. He says, quote, we have a new logo. We have a lot of new things around here, talking about the Titans. So we are going to have a winning record this year. Tajay Spears is landing on the line, baby. Here comes a winning record from the Tennessee Titans. Joe, your thoughts.
Controversial? How dare you? That is crazy. Yeah, that's. I hope they think they're going to have a winning record.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a little bit more. Hey, we're going to be a Super Bowl contender, you know? We are going 9-8. I don't care what anybody says.
We need Big Joe Dubin to get out there to the press conference and ask Saleh and Ward and all these different people if he thinks that this team right now can win the Super Bowl. Did he ask Borgonzi last year?
Well, yeah, but it was also Brinker.
Brinker
was
in there too, yeah.
Brinker started laughing at the question. Maybe that's why Brinker's
maybe
out.
Should have been
is that why Brinker's out? You maybe laughed so. When Big Joe asked about the Super Bowl. Yeah, it was like, I mean, I thought.
Borgonzi just sitting over there stone-faced while that's going on?
You know, that's not the type of question we really want to talk about around here.
I also don't like Chad laughing. It's not good either.
I hope that Big Joe is going to do this every year, right? I think. Did he say that he used to do that, like, every year? Like, that used to just be, like, a stock training? Okay, let's bring it out this year again.
I agree.
Dust it off. Bring it out, Big Joe. It's a fair question. Every team. I mean, how could you answer anything other than absolutely? Absolutely. That's the idea, right?
They answered it differently last year. So
we'll yes. So what?
You know, I'm just not quite sure.
Yeah.
Don't know.
What is the reaction to Tajay Spears saying they're going to have a winning record?
Well, I just think there are a lot of people around the league that look at it and say, really? I think first off, they look at it and they say, how about Tajay Spears worry about, like, you know, getting on the field and touching the ball more than seven times in a game? I think that would be the first thing. But I've seen a little reaction of like, oh, Tajay Spears is throwing it out there that the Titans are going to have some big turnaround this year. I have no problem with anybody on the Titans believing that they're significantly better. Matter of fact, I hope they believe that they're significantly better heading into this year.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, Tajay Spears, I mean, I don't know what his future is. I think it's tenuous. But also, I like when a player talks about team stuff, right?
I agree.
What's wrong with that? And he is, and that's part of the thing with him is he's well liked in the building because he's a team dude.
He's a team dude. I'm interested to see with Dable, like, does the, I mean, if he can't figure it out this year in the offense and become more of an impact player, he won't be here next year. Like, it's as simple as that. Like, if Spears doesn't play much better than we've seen him play in the NFL so far this year, then he won't be here this time next year.
Right. And some of that will have to do with, like, how does Nick Singleton look, right? Yeah. Like, is he actually – I know the young kid whose name is eluding me from Michigan.
Mullings.
Another guy. Yes, Khalil Mullings. Another one. You know, you never know. He could surprise people, too. I liked him coming out of college as a guy who hadn't played much running back at all. So some of that is part of the answer, but I agree. Spears is – he may be – it may be, you know, not too much time here.
Let me ask you.
Unless he really breaks out this year.
The same question I asked Corey Curtis. Forget, like, what Carnell Tate is in 2 years, or forget, you know, the long-term part of this. What would you rather see in training camp? Would you rather see an immediate connection between Ward and Tate, or would you rather get to the end of the camp and feel like, okay, I don't think the quarterback's going to die because the interior of the offensive line looks fine out there?
The hard part about that question is – what kind of answers are you really getting from camp from the offensive line?
I'm just throwing the hypothetical out.
But I'd probably pick that. I'd probably pick that because, first of all, we've already seen some good chemistry. So, those guys are going to have plenty of time. Like, those guys are – the investment is there. They're going to have time.
All the time.
I think it's going to be fine. I think it's going to be fine between QB and receiver. It really comes down to QB performance. Is QB performance overall going to be good enough? But, yeah, if you actually felt like, you know what, these answers, these and their backup answers in some cases that they've had to find up front are looking okay, I think I'd go there. Because if you can give Cam Ward better protection this year, you got a better defense, you're in more games where you're not down multiple scores in the fourth quarter, all those things, you're going to keep him safer and he should benefit. I mean, it's just if it's bad – all these other things they've done could just be completely compromised. So yeah. I think I'd go there.
I think it's really interesting because I also, like, I think I'm with you. However, you know, I've also been preaching all offseason long about how when's the last time the Titans had a first-round pick, particularly a high first-round pick, that came in and was immediately impactful. And I'm talking from the jump. Not 8 games in, not 15 games in, not 2 years in. Immediately. Impactful. It's been a while since they've had that.
Other than QBs who played right away, like Marcus and Cam.
Right, but like neither one of those guys were all that impactful their first year. Like they were on the field. They weren't very good.
Marcus had the perfect quarterback rating his first game.
He did, and then it went significantly downhill after that. It's been a while since they've had like – I mean, it did not take long – and this wasn't a first-round pick. It was a second-round pick. It didn't take very long to look at A.J. Brown and say, oh – that's a little bit different, right? Like, they need that from Carnell Tate.
Yeah, and like Derrick Henry, you saw the talent, so you know, but he was still your backup running back. So it's like here and there you'd have a big run or something and be like, ooh, man, what could this guy be someday? But not the same thing you're talking about. No, they need it. I mean, you know, Skoronski, now he looks good. He's going to get that second deal, all that stuff, top 10 offensive lineman.
Took him a while, though.
Yeah. No, his rookie year was not
very
great.
Good. Yeah.
No.
Will he set the market for a new contract, Skoronski?
I think he will.
Probably, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of how it works.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no reason to think he wouldn't.
He'll
right?
set it for about, you know, 3 weeks or whatever it is before the next one gets to the deal.
I mean, especially at 24, having really not had health issues.
Right.
He had the
appendectomy.
Yeah, but I would say
so.
I would say for sure he
Linderbaum
will set the market.
Got 27 per, you know, as the center. Wonder if he goes over that.
He might.
And correct me if I'm wrong, and I could be wrong here, but if we separate those two positions, I mean, center, I would think the top centers make a little bit more than the top guards.
I would think so.
So if we're set, so I mean,
what, Tyler Smith, right?
Tyler Smith gets paid $24 million a year.
Yeah.
And he's number one right now?
Yeah.
Yep. For guards.
Yeah. He'll
and Trey
that.
Smith is right behind him.
Trey Smith, Titans could have got him.
They could have.
Sorry to keep.
Could have a
up.
Heck of a guard combo right now. You know,
imagine that. They wouldn't even need a center. They could have Aaron
put the ball on the ground and have Ward pick it up. You know,
Aaron
be fine.
Aaron Brewer's skinny little cousin play center. Be fine.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. Plus, a scenario that's been tossed out there that might just totally destroy Vol Twitter. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Green Ventures Landscaping. Get thicker grass, better color, fewer bare spots with turf application. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Dylan says, I feel like without a doubt you have to choose the offensive line. It's better protecting Cam. Cam has to make plays with almost any receiver because he has the ability to scramble around, make things happen, or run if he needs to. He can have a great connection with Tate, but that doesn't really matter if he's getting smeared every time he drops back to pass. I agree. Now, I would also say, from the standpoint of the quarterback, you need to be able to have some sort of connection with every receiver. There are certain guys where it's different, though. Like, the most important connection long-term in the franchise is him and Tate. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. So that's why, like, I phrased the question the way I did, because if you're going long term, I mean, there's no question. It's Ward and Tate. I'm talking like within the next 8 weeks. What would you like to most see get figured out first, Tate and Ward, or the offensive line? And I think you could go either way with it.
Yeah, yeah. And look, 25, 26 NFL fan bases think their offensive line sucks. You know,
yep.
Now, some are right, some are a little bit overstating things, but. You can have bad offensive line play and still have great quarterback to receiver work and still move the ball. Like, yep. You know, you can compensate. It does happen. So yeah, overall, like you said, long term, that connection being special is probably as important as anything. But yeah, I do go offensive line short term right now. Just in terms of if it's really solidified, and training camp could lie either way, but if it's really solidified, I think it just gives Cam on his own such a better chance this year to really make strides and really be able to show who he is as a quarterback.
People talking about the last time they've had a first round pick that came in and like instantaneously you're like, wow. Kristen Nashel says Vince Young. I mean, I would say definitely Chris Johnson. I mean, Chris Johnson got handed the ball one time in a preseason game, took off for like 60 yards. I was like, geez, look at that guy. So, I mean, Chris Johnson, pretty good right from the jump. I'm trying to think of first-round picks they've had since then that would also qualify.
Yeah, because obviously –
LaJuan's different, but even he took him a while to, you know, not get 16 personal foul penalties every game.
Conklin.
Yep. Conklin would be another one.
Conklin came right in, started, was really good. That would be 10
that
years
qualify.
Ago.
I mean, even Simmons was hurt for like half his first year.
Yeah, he was not, and you knew that was going to be the case.
Yep.
But Rashawn Evans played. Yeah, you know, I guess he played. He was okay. Corey Davis was okay, but it wasn't as exciting. He was coming off the foot break, the broken foot or whatever, broken ankle, whatever it was. So there was a little bit more of like, okay, give it a little bit of time too. But yeah, Conklin. And there, you know, it's slim pickings through there. I don't remember like how good Derek Morgan was like right away.
Yeah.
He was a good player here. You know, Kenny Britt.
They need Tate to be pretty quickly. I mean, look, you took him fourth overall. You need Carnell Tate to come in pretty quick this year and be the best receiver on your team. Especially like we've talked about, they've got decent depth at wide receiver right now. Like you're feeling pretty good about the depth they have, especially compared to what it's been. But like it shouldn't be asking a ton for Carnell Tate being drafted where he was drafted and the skill set that he's got to come in and be the best receiver on this team fairly quickly into his NFL career. Doesn't have to be week one, but fairly quickly into his career. Like the opposing defense, when they're trying to figure out how to stop the Titans passing game, the number one thing they need to be focusing on is, all right, how do you stop Tate?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, Wandale Robinson's going to get more
– a lot of catches.
Yeah, more usage probably right away, and that's great. He's going to be almost like an extension of the run game. And, of course, you hope that actual run game is part of it. And if Calvin Ridley is out there making plays, that's great, too. Take a little bit of pressure off him. But, yeah, early on, you need to notice him. You need to see him. He needs to make plays. And I'm pretty confident that he will. He'll be on the field making plays.
Dennis said, Isaiah Wilson made me say wow, but for different reasons.
Different kind of wow. Like,
wow, did he just get absolutely plastered out there on the field goal team? Well,
oh, wow.
About that?
He actually was able to make it on the field for an extra point.
What was he out there? Was it four snaps? I think it was four.
I got to go back.
I think it was four snaps.
I bet you I could find some funny stuff that I wrote from like his first training camp. Like, wow, you can really see the
just the raw talent is amazing out there.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Dylan says, here's a fun question. When's the last time we didn't have to worry about the Titans' offensive line for the Titans in an offseason? 2019? Maybe 2020?
You know, the funny thing is even like – I'm trying to remember because remember Conklin tore his ACL. So I want to say even like going into the 19 season? Or no, maybe not. That's right, because that was after the 17 season. They lost to New England. He tore his ACL in that game at New England the night that what's-his-name looked like a world beater, and they're like, oh, we got to have Deion Lewis.
Yeah.
So maybe going into – yeah, it's been a while.
Been a long time, man.
Yeah.
It's been too long.
I mean, you certainly felt good about it. But even like in 19, they went and signed Saffold. And if people remember the first few games of the 2019 season, he was terrible. Now, he ended up being really good.
He was, yeah.
And you had Nate Davis over there. Man, it ended up being a great offensive line by the end of the year. But even like the first month of the season, it was like, is this the worst offensive line in the NFL?
Michael Madison says Isaiah Wilson played four snaps, three in victory formation, and one on the PAT that he got bulldozed on. I just remember the PAT where he just got flattened out there. I was like, geez, man, you're a billion pounds. Just get out there and hold your ground for a field goal attempt.
Like, wow. Oh, people are allowed to hit me? Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Going down memory lane
on that one. Yeah. That was good stuff. I mean, the interior part of this is so in question this year that we're not even talking about J.C. Latham. I brought that up last week. It's like, J.C. Latham? Oh, yeah, J.C. Latham's at right tackle. I mean, that should be a pretty massive storyline heading into this year. And instead, it's like, well, there's the quarterback, and there's the receiver, and there's the interior of the offensive line. And, oh, yeah, J.C. Latham's over there at right tackle.
Yeah, because that's the thing. It really is center to right tackle where you're like – I mean, that's if you really want to start talking about this offensive line, you can worry yourself. It's like center to offensive line, you got real questions. Left tackle, So basically, you have a left guard. You feel good about that left guard. That's awesome.
I feel better and better about Skoronski each time we talk about him, you know?
Skoronski, can he play three positions somehow? By the way, I didn't notice any Titans tackles on the list of top.
Don't even think I saw him in the honorable mention category.
No. I actually was counting it up, and I think 20 teams are represented in some way on that list. Titans would be one of the – if I'm right, I think it's about 12 teams that have nobody. So take that for,
I'm sure
take that for whatever it's worth.
I'm sure the Mandor was like, just missing out on votes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, creaking out there in the wind, swinging open, you know. That lake wind.
God, I hope he didn't listen to our show.
Just come down here and just beat the crap out of both of us.
Hey, Ian, it's the Mandor.
Ian, please protect us from the Mandor.
Well, I don't know if I can do that.
Lock the door against the Mandor.
We'll wrap up the show coming up next, including the idea of could Tony Vitello be on the move after 1 year in San Francisco. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Bob Nightingale, friend of the show from USA Today, is putting like his all-star piece together. He's going over different topics around the league. You know, is anybody ever going to stop the Dodgers ever again? And all these different things that are going on. And one of the things that Nightingale brings up is, you know, what does the future look like for some of these managers, particularly first-year managers? And Tony Vitello is the name that leads off the list here. And I'll just read to you what Nightingale put out there. Quote, "The Giants took an unprecedented gamble when they hired Vitello from the University of Tennessee, and it has badly backfired. It certainly hasn't helped that the Giants surrounded him with a huge contingent of young and inexperienced coaches. But they are the biggest mess outside of Queens. They've embarrassed themselves with their performance, leaving them no choice but to place every team veteran on the trade block but starter Logan Webb. It might be too embarrassing to fire Vitello after 1 year, but it wouldn't surprise a soul to see Vitello return to turn to the college ranks if the right opening comes his way. So what do you think of that? And what do you think the reaction from Tennessee fans would be if Vitello leaves to go be the manager of the Giants and then after 1 year, I guess either gets fired or, as this suggests, voluntarily leaves on his own and looks at it and says, yeah, I'll go back to college and I'll end up being the head coach of, like, you know, wherever. Not at Tennessee next year.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't know. Like, why is he forfeiting money?
I don't know.
I'd be surprised unless he's just so miserable. It doesn't seem like it's going well. I will say, like with Vitello, I just think that his lane is probably 18 to 22 year olds and not like 30 year old MLB vets who are like, what, dude? Yeah, which I think we talked about when he took the job. That was one of the questions. And then when you throw it in with like just a bad team too.
I agree with that. I also think the team sucks.
Yeah,
like, I don't know,
makes it harder.
What he's really supposed to do, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So but it's interesting because Missouri is his alma mater.
Yep.
It's where he played. And I think a lot of people thought there was going to be a coaching change after this year. Nightingale writes in that. Could it be – I think it was Nightingale, unless it was somebody else that I read, and I'm conflating the two things. But you know, Missouri is one of those jobs that, you know, is it possible that if an opportunity came open, they would fire their coach to bring him in? I think so. I think it's possible. Would he want that? Is that program set up for success? I guess if they're going to pay Tony Vitello, that tells you that, okay, we're in on baseball. So, and that would, of course, if you're a Tennessee fan, you're sitting there like, dude, Tony. Now, by the way, the draft went really well for Tennessee, really well. Went really well for Tennessee and Vanderbilt, both of them, in terms of who got drafted, who they're going to get to campus.
Yep.
Both of those teams look like they might both be like, after this bad year where they're neither in Omaha, they both might be really loaded next year. So Josh Elander, he's got to prove it, and they got to get to Omaha, and they've got to do more and all that stuff after this year. But I think he's going to be okay. So that probably dulls the pain a little bit if this does happen with Vitello. But people are still always going to be like looking at him from afar, and because he was just such a. Just a force, right?
Here's a question for you that you have no way of answering, and I'm going to ask you anyway. Do you think Vitello regrets leaving Tennessee and taking the Giants job?
Well, it's obviously just pure speculation. I'm sure there are times when he does, right? I mean, with some of this stuff going on this year and that organization, just there's a bunch of crap going on with that organization. A lot of it has nothing to do with him, but I would think there's probably some times when he does, you know? But it's also, if you're him, I'm telling myself, who doesn't do this?
It's Major League Baseball.
Of course you do this. This is one of the legendary franchises in MLB and in sports, right? So you do it. You do it every time. But, yeah, given that he clearly still grappled with it, it was not a slam dunk. We remember how that messy that was, right? Lenny's later like, hey, what did you guys find out? You
know? Yeah, like early in the – let's go through the whole thing here. Yeah.
Like, clearly, this was not just easy for him, which makes it probably more likely that he has moments of regret.
I mean, the I'm looking at the odds for MLB manager to be fired next. So he is now fifth on the list right now. Fifth. So that it falls into the long shot category, but
what's your list? Give me the list.
Espada with the Astros, Suzuki with the Angels, Schneider with the Blue Jays, Quatraro with the Royals, and Vitello.
Okay, I mean to be that high on the list here in year one,
it's not good.
It's not great, and I agree. Like Caleb on YouTube, yeah, it's not. It's not on him, and he knew. We knew too going into the year. Like this, he's going to have a bad first team. Like, you know, they've got some prospects. I mean, they don't have a bleak future, but
I mean, what I would love to know, and I don't know, because I'm not sitting here watching San Francisco Giants baseball all the time. Like, has he just looked totally out of his depth out there? Like, has it been some massive problem where it's like, yeah, they're bad, but the manager is like actively making them worse. I don't know.
I can tell you that I've had some interactions with some of our baseball people at The Athletic, and the perception there is that there's definitely at times some lacking respect for him, that he doesn't. So, again, you got a bad team. It is absolutely different. It's different. Even with the college guys getting paid, it's different. Yeah, so they're technically pros, still different than, you know, being an MLB manager. But again, it's so early. Like, I do think maybe this is a little bit of an overreaction. A lot of this just really depends on how miserable he is. Is he just miserable? I mean, his entire career has been spent either playing or then just around college baseball, you know?
Well, here's the other thing.
On this side of the country.
Let's say he gets to the end of the year and he decides to go back into college. Well, based on the calendar, I mean, the college baseball season, when MLB's done, it's not that far from starting. Like, you got stuff to figure out what job is available. I mean, I'm sure somebody would fire their coach if they knew they were getting Tony Vitello. Yeah. So I understand that. I'm just saying, like, the calendar doesn't exactly line up that way.
No, it doesn't. But, yeah, like, for example, yeah, the
would Tennessee look at Elander and be like, hey, man, we love you. You can be an assistant here.
Well, can we pay you the same? Yeah. You beat Tony's guy? Yeah. That's the thing. You can't. You can't do it. Kerrick Jackson, so I think he's going into fourth year at Missouri. And I think he's viewed – it's kind of a lame duck situation. So that would be one of those.
Be easy. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be one of those, which happens sometimes, you know, or it happens – calendar's weird and like a Dusty May leaves Michigan, you know, like a week ago, right? So – that would be, and obviously, if you're a Vols fan, the idea of him not just like, oh my gosh, he left for a year, but then for him to be back in the SEC against.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, it's definitely lining up for avoiding the ultimate doomsday Vol Twitter totally meltdown scenario, which would be like Corbin retires and Vitello steps in at Vanderbilt. Like, I don't think that's going to happen if it makes it to the end of this year.
No. So. And by the way, the only way that happens, I would wager, would be that also every single other decision maker who is currently at Vanderbilt is no
gone.
Longer.
Yeah.
That would be, I'm trying to think of like, that would be like, I don't know, the Preds like making like Corey Perry the
captain.
Yeah, or something. Like just, there's just no way in hell that those people would want anything to do with it. But yes, what a nightmare for Vols fans. But I mean, it would be. Like, you know, you think about Tony, like Arkansas fans forever.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, he's eventually going to be our coach. Like, if that ends up happening or something, like that timed up or something, that'd be tough for the Vols fans. But Josh Elander, he's going to have a really good team this year. Just telling you guys.
So it's not sounding like things are going to end well for Vitello in San Francisco.
Well, who knows? I mean, this is All-Star break of his first season. And I mean, I think it was a totally understandable thing that Nightingale wrote there. But. You know, a bad half year, these things can happen. A bad first year, it can happen. And then you can stick it out and things can get better.
My guess is he's back in San Francisco next year. And then, you know, next year if it continues to be terrible, well, then you're probably going to get fired at that point.
Exactly. Right. Then that's on the table, but it would be rash and like embarrassing for all involved if it ends after 1 year.
That's not good. Yeah. Not what you're looking for. That does it for us today. Rex Road, welcome back to the program. It's good to have you back on the show. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.